As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me your evidentiary hearing. We got breakfast on the table, we got coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, November the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. You can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness. You're not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com to engage in our chat room discussions, or you can pick up the telephone and call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air, and from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. All that contact information can again be found at BecomeVocalLocal.com. Big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro, 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and 1610 AM, Lompoc, California. Not to say the least of AM 1710, Liberty Radio, Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. This content being streamed over TalkStream, Live, Shoutcast, and many, many other ways to listen. You can even listen over, what is it, Facebook? Wow. The listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome this morning. Markets awash in a sea of red ink following the G20 failure to communicate. No, they got a failure to communicate going on over there. News from Seoul, G20, the APEC in Yokohama, politics of obedience, Labuetti, Carol Quigley. Well, where we go? Well, we'll have to find out. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning. Not looking too good. Not looking too good in the marketplaces. Had a lot of interesting action happening overnight. I was up looking at the markets at midnight. Things were down and down all the way across the board. But anyway, this morning, gold is down $17.60. Now trading at $1,391.30. So where's that $1,400 gold? Well, it's about $9 out of reach at the moment. Silver, likewise, off 56 cents at $27.12. We were up into the 29 zone. Wow. Platinum, off $44 this morning, yet still above $1,700 at $1,710. And that's not bad news for platinum. Palladium, off $9, but it's still at $702 an ounce. So we've got a big cushion built in here. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,377.50 for a low, $1,393.40 for a high, a big spread built in there. But at $1,391.30, fear not, little flock, your gold is still up $274.50 year to year for a 24.58%. return on your investment. The closer it got to 30% return on your investment annually, the sweatier the palms became. And the London boys, the London Gold Fix this morning, the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA.org, I believe is their web URL. They set the price at $1,387. We're trading above that as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The SPDR gold shares, the GLD, that exchange-traded fund out there, they claim to be holding 1,290.86 metric tons in their treasure chest, valued at $58 billion.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, Here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The HARP controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed HARP can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, HARP can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what HARP is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This HARP is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Friday, November the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, indeed, my name is William Roberts, always with good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. Let's go back into our marker report. Again, active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, where we find gold trading down this morning at down $17.60 at $1,391.30 at midnight last evening here locally. It was showing about an off $23, and there was just a sea of red ink. Every one of the currencies was down as well, so things weren't exactly going too good for the boys. It wasn't exactly swimmingly and smashingly over in Seoul, Korea. Mm-hmm. That's right, the G20. Anyway, the London gold fix this morning, $1,387. We can find silver off 56 cents at 27.12, platinum off 44 bucks at 1,710, and palladium off 9 at $702 an ounce. Overnight, the SPDR gold shares paired off another 0.91 metric tons from their treasure chest this morning, claiming to hold 1,290.86 metric tons valued on the street at these bullion prices at $58 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday, sea of red ink, closed down 74 at 11,283. The NASDAQ closed off 23 at 25.55. The S&P 500 closed down 5 at 12.14. The crude oil this morning off $1.52. It moved down again in crude oil at $86.29 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index also in decline off 20 basis points at 77.94. Of course, this is what all the fur flying was about over in Korea. They don't like this weakening dollar, U.S. dollar strategy, and they're taking action to repel borders, if we might say so. The foreign exchange rates, of course, this morning reflect that downward move in the USDX, where we find the Canadian loonie also off 52 basis points, exchanging against the U.S. dollar at 99 cents. The Mexican peso bumps up a little bit, 15 basis points, exchanges against the U.S. dollar at 8 cents apiece. Your multiplier there is 12.2368 pesos per dollar. The euro this morning up 59 basis points, exchanges against the U.S. dollar at 1.38. The British pound up 9 basis points, exchanging against the dollar at 1.62. And the Swiss franc off 12 basis points, yet still above parity with the U.S. dollar at $1.03. The bond market this morning, the U.S. Treasuries, the bonded indebtedness, the 2-year bond is yielding 0.47%, the 10-year is at 2.71%, and the 30 at 4.26. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed rate mortgage moves up from 3.76% a month ago to 3.79. The 30-year following the trend moves up from 4.32% to 4.38. Again, those are the fixed rate mortgages, not your adjustable rate mortgages. The prime rate stands at 3.25%, and your gold to silver ratio this morning is 51.31 ounces of silver. I'll get you 1 ounce of gold. Not a lot of news. You can go up on the Kitco website and take a look and read down through all of the various and sundry discussions that are out there. And there is a plethora of them, a whole gob and a bunch. And everybody's got an idea of what's going on in the marketplace, but no one seems to be really definitive about it. You know, we continue to see a little bit of a downward pull in the gold and the silver and all across the board. I would suggest that you look at your portfolio, evaluate, and maybe take advantage, as they say in the gold and silver biz, make a purchase, perhaps. Take advantage of the lower prices. In the economic calendar, not a lot of news going on this morning. Consumer sentiment, Fed balance sheet, money supply. We may come back to that, and maybe not. Let's go into this one. Off of the Bloomberg website, the usurper says the Federal Reserve's easing wasn't aimed at affecting the dollar. Now, they were having to do a lot of double speak and lots of toe dancing, but I don't know about you, but looking at the internet yesterday, today, and perhaps over the weekend as well, because things are continuing in APEC in Yokohama, but I have not found anything really definitive, you know, none of these working papers, none of these major decisions coming out of these meetings. I think they weren't getting a deal. They were getting a nope and soul, all right? Barry the usurper said the U.S. Federal Reserve's second round of quantitative easing is designed to boost growth, not affect the value of the dollar, rebuffing charges that America is seeking a weaker exchange rate. Of course, that went over like a lead balloon in Korea. Quote, this decision was not one to have an impact on the currency, on the dollar, the usurper said, a day after former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan said the nation was, quote, pursuing a policy of currency weakening. In a Financial Times opinion piece, quote, it was designed to grow the economy, the usurper said. Obama's comments also contrast with criticism of the Fed's step by officials in China, Germany, and Brazil, who have said it will depress the value of the dollar. A weaker currency could help Obama achieve his goal of doubling U.S. exports and in 5 years by boosting the competitiveness of overseas shipments, okay? So the weaker the dollar gets, the more attractive our exports become. The stronger the dollar gets, the more likely we're going to have a trade deficit import to export, where we import more than we export. Continuing from the article, it says the U.S. faces a quote-unquote huge danger from deflation, which would be damaging to the world economy, the usurper told reporters today at the close of the G20 meeting in Seoul, where leaders agreed to move towards market-set currencies. Leaders agreed to move towards market-set currencies. Now, until such time as we get some kind of working papers out of Korea, we're going to have to be satisfied, I guess, with these little bones that are being pitched to us. But I would like to find out more about what they agreed to, see if there's a working document. Is there a paper out there? Is there some kind of a decision statement that was made, or was there some kind of an accord agreed to? Leaders agreed to move toward market-set currencies. That's all we get out of that one. He said exchanges on the Fed's actions weren't central to any of the discussions between world's leaders at the two-day summit. All right, no, it just happened. They were at, you know, they had the Krispy Kremes out on the counter, and everybody was having that and enjoying some coffee, and they just decided to do what they did, right? It didn't have anything to do with the world marketplace. Fed policymakers on November the 3rd said they'd buy an additional $6 billion. We've reported this to the end of the end. The Fed left unchanged its pledge to keep the interest rates low for an extended period. So this all, going into this G20 meeting, this was really on everybody's mind. And I don't know whether they, you know, like I said, I don't know whether they've created some kind of a decision statement yet or not. I wasn't able to find it. Maybe you have. There's some legitimate concern that we've had very low inflation, that a huge danger in the United States is deflation. Deflation, this is the D word coming in now. The usurper said, quote, we have to be mindful of those dangers going forward because that wouldn't be good for the United States or for the rest of the world. Would not be good to have us go into a period of extended or intermittent deflation. Timmy Geithner, little Timmy, said yesterday that Greenspan's assessment, I wonder if anyone taught him how to tie his tie. Maybe. Maybe he has a new valet. Timmy Geithner said yesterday that Greenspan's assessment on U.S. policy was incorrect. Quote, that's, what happened to Timothy Geithner's eyebrows? Did anybody notice? The man doesn't seem to have any eyebrows. Did he pluck them? I don't know, maybe a little highlight, you know? Little mascara on there, you know, fluff up the eyelids. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. A little Botox on the lip. What is Timmy's old trip anyway? We'll be right back.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
So once again, we're looking at this G20 meeting over in Seoul, Korea. You know, they had this huge article and lengthy expose of all of the martial arts experts and things like that. They put on quite a show for the world leaders, letting them know how crafty they were with the martial arts and, you know, breaking boards with their foreheads and things that the Koreans like to do. But they didn't seem to say much about what was going on inside of this meeting, and that kind of troubles me. The G20 leaders agreed in Seoul. I don't like that kind of phraseology. How about you? I want to know what they agreed to. I want to see the document. G20 leaders agreed in Seoul to a framework, you know, frameworks, I don't like these words, aimed at stemming imbalances in trade and capital flows that risk roiling the global economy. Finance ministers will next year work on developing a set of early warning indicators. You know, there's another article about that, or this early warning system for the financial system. Wow, what a thing that must be. But anyway, that we agreed that growth must be balanced. Second, we agreed that exchange rates must reflect economic realities. How do you get an economic reality out of a Ponzi scheme? I don't know. But anyway, so there's some material that's still on the table, but I haven't seen it in print yet. Maybe some of you have. Obama, the usurper, said the U.S. isn't alone in worrying about China's approach to their currency. Worrying? Stop worrying, Barry. Known as the renminbi, or the yuan, and charged Chinese authorities with spending enormous amounts of money intervening in the market to keep it undervalued. Give us a break. President's working group on financial markets, how much money, you know, is given to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase on a regular basis to manipulate the markets? Usurpers worrying about the Chinese authorities doing something we've been doing for a long time? Well, the renminbi is one that's an irritant, not just the United States, but it's an irritant to a lot of China's trading partners and those who are competing with China to sell goods around the world. He said the usurper's meeting yesterday with Chinese President Hu Jintao was dominated by exchange rates. Today, he put his arm around his Chinese counterpart. Watch it, Barry. Careful. As leaders posed for a group photo. Wow. Countries reached an agreement that, quote, exchange rates must reflect economic realities, the usurper said, adding that the U.S. will closely watch the appreciation of the yuan ahead of Hu's state visit to Washington in January. On domestic issues, the usurper said in his 40-minute press conference that extending tax cuts for wealthy Americans enacted by the former president, G.W. Bush, would be fiscally irresponsible. I'll see how all that rolls out in the next few weeks. But, they immediately then turned right around and jumped from there and went over to Yokohama for the APEC meeting. We'll talk about that next. But right here is a little bit more. Again, having a real difficult time. Went up to the South Korean G20 website, on the APEC website, trying to find some definitive documents. Nothing. Nothing. The usurper sharpens yuan criticism as G20 defers action over trade imbalances. Michael Forsyth and Juliana Goldman writing for Bloomberg. Today's news. The usurper attacked China's policy of undervaluing, blah, blah, blah. It is undervalued, blah, blah, blah. China spends an enormous amount of money, blah, blah, blah. G20 leaders agree to develop early warning indicators, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of a repetitive article. Two-day gathering was marked by clashes over whether Chinese or U.S. policies were more to blame for economic imbalances that endanger the global recovery. All right? This is free trade. I don't know whether clashing over things that have been going on for 30 years. China took aim at the Federal Reserve's monetary easing highlighting dangers, it said, as the move is poised to financial stability and rejecting policy prescriptions, that the fault is the exchange rate regime, blah, blah, blah. I have to give this round to the Chinese, said Tim Condon. This round, they're battling over there. This is the currency war. I have to give this round with a boxing, said Tim Condon, head of Asian research at ING Group NV in Singapore. Quote, it's in an international negotiation like this, China has seized on the easing to its advantage and managed to deflect any kind of criticism the U.S. might have been able to give. So I guess Benjamin Shalom Bernanke laid out the cherry, the plum, that China seized upon that deflected any kind of criticism that the usurper could bring towards them. Obama, and who? And who? No, Jintao, that's who, have arrived in Japan, where about half the G20 leaders will gather again in Yokohama for a weekend meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. Of course, you can find out more about that just by typing those words into your browser, Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, and or you can just simply type in APEC, APEC, Yokohama, as I did this morning. You can also go to channelingreality.com, visit Vicki Davis's website, and read much more about what she's found out about the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation and why it's important to us. Imbalance guidelines. Finance ministers from the G20 will work next year on a set of indicative guidelines designed to identify large economic imbalances and the actions needed to fix them, according to a joint statement released as the Seoul summit came to a close. Then they all went out and had Seoul food, no doubt. But the question is, where is this joint statement? I haven't been able to find it yet. Maybe it's out there. Uneven growth and widening imbalances are fueling the temptation to diverge from global solutions into uncoordinated actions. Uncoordinated policy actions will only lead to worse outcomes for all. So in other words, they're looking for more managed trade, managed action, a global consensus, and they're not getting it. Just like the Copenhagen didn't do well over there for Barry the Usurper in Copenhagen. And it doesn't appear to have gone very well for him in Seoul, even though he was there ostensibly in the presence of a large military flotilla. China has $2.6 trillion of foreign currency reserves, more than double of any country. It ran up a $201 billion trade surplus with the U.S. in the first 9 months of the year, more than the U.S. deficit with the next seven. What they're trying to do is to make you really dislike the Chinese. We can go ahead and blame the Chinese for the things that, you know, they're doing, without remembering that if you go all the way back to the creation of the Jesuit order, it was St. Francis Xavier that split with the other clown and went immediately to the East, Asia, and been there ever since, you know. So we've been, and how long was England involved with India and China? And, you know, who brought Mao Zedong to power? Who betrayed Chiang Kai-shek? You know, come on, let's keep our notes up to pace here. Cliff Tan, head of emerging market currency at Societe Generale SA in Hong Kong, said the summit did nothing to curb what he sees as an inevitable decline in the dollar against emerging market currencies. Well, it seems to be part of the plan. Don't imagine that this was just something that came along. The Fed will be trying to buy currencies next week, and I expect the world will continue to try to diversify away from a currency they don't particularly want more of at present. And that means a still weaker dollar. Right? People don't want the U.S. dollar anymore. It's losing its status as the reserve currency of the world. They're looking at other alternatives, just as maybe others be looking at gold and silver and platinum and palladium. And rhodium, too, it's out there. Copper works all right. Wheat would be all right. In circumstances where countries are facing undue burdens of adjustment, policy responses in emerging market economies with adequate reserves and increasingly overvalued flexible exchange rates may also include carefully designed macroprudential measures, the G20 leaders said in the statement. Boy, wonder how much they had to pay to get that sentence written. Probably a bundle. Anyway, the G20 discussions were clouded by concern Ireland may need the European Union to step in with a bailout after its bond yields surged to a record. And there's a lengthy article on that as well. This is this new social safety net being built for Ireland. Well, we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So let's jump out of this Herald Sun article and, jump out of the Bloomberg article and go to a heraldsun.com.au. This has been an Australian article that was dropped in the chat room here. G20 to give developing nations an IMF role. Prime Minister Julia Gillard and other G20 leaders are expected to endorse giving developing nations a greater say in the International Monetary Fund when the summit wraps up today. A greater say in the IMF, but tougher questions about exchange rates and finding a way to progress the Doha round of free trade talks are not likely to be resolved. Right? Meeting comes as the Prime Minister stepped up her attack on Australian banks over interest rates. She says the government will make changes to ensure greater competition and make it easier for customers to vote with their feet. We want to better empower consumers to move away from banks when they're unhappy with the banking arrangements and believe they're being ripped off, she told a G20 forum in Seoul yesterday. Pretty strong language there, this idea of people are moving away from banks looking for a better arrangement when they believe they're being ripped off. it's kind of powerful. The Prime Minister also announced a new deal, to sell uranium to Russia for nuclear power generation. That'll really make everybody happy. Meanwhile, Ms. Gillard will use the G20 leaders meeting on Friday to push for a new global framework for economic growth and better management of current accounts and IMF reforms, which will allow nations such as China a greater role. Australia, which has got low government debt, is expected to get special treatment under financial system reforms intended to prevent a repeat of the global crisis. Prime Minister will also champion development issues such as food security and improving infrastructure, with the G20 expected to agree to a development framework for shared growth and action to support this goal. Tonight, she will travel to Japan for the start of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Leaders Meeting to be held in Yokohama tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday both, okay? So, yeah, that's in there. But again, we don't find much concrete information coming out of this G20. G20 discussions, back to the Bloomberg article, were clouded by concern Ireland may need the European Union to step in with a bailout. After its bond yields surged to a record, a reminder of the financial crisis that led to the first summit in November of 2008. So things are not looking too happy over there in Happy Ireland. Okay, they're not out of the woods yet. Remember the little pigs, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain? Okay, well, one of the little pigs is still struggling. Quote, difficult negotiations. These were hard and sometimes difficult negotiations, German Chancellor Angela Merkel told reporters in Seoul. In the end, the spirit of cooperation prevailed. In the end, the spirit of cooperation. Cooperation. That's communitarian. That's there's just no sovereignty in that. There's no freedom or liberty in that. The statement didn't mention numerical goals for curbing current account imbalances. They're not putting any numbers to this. They don't have their pencils out. They're not working on paper here, said Timmy Geithner. He had said last month that a ratio for current account surpluses or deficits of 4% of gross domestic product was, quote, likely to emerge as the basic benchmark. China and Germany, which run two of the world's largest surpluses, rejected the idea of targets. Once again, the debtor rarely ever succeeds in negotiations with the creditor. We agreed that we can measure sustainable growth and imbalances with one indicator, but that we need a number of indicators, Merkel said. These indicators will now have to be discussed, and that's what the finance ministers will take up in detail next year. So don't look for anything happening soon. Stephen Roach, how aptly named this fellow is, non-executive Asia chairman for Morgan Stanley, said today's agreement may shift the focus away from the U.S.-China dispute over the yuan, because it puts pressure on all G20 nations to address trade and savings gaps. So it's the G18 that seems to be taking over the discussion on shifting it away from the G2, or China and the United States. Workable framework. It really gives the G20 a far more workable framework to address the broad subject of imbalances. This is a far more reliable alternative than to try to resolve a multilateral problem through a bilateral currency dispute. And it continues. Another interesting article in here. The Chinese jealously hold their right to be flexible, their right to adjust, said Donald Brin, co-director of the G20 research group at the University of Toronto. Quote, they would not want to commit to something that is so rigid with respect to their trade imbalances. That is not to say they don't understand the underlying forces that are causing them. In other words, they're not stupid, but they're not being flexible either. Anyway, here's a little bit more on that. No deal. South Korea, no deal, may damp prospects for U.S. trade accords. All right? Again, Bloomberg, third take on the same issue. Excuse me. Before heading to South Korea, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk was warned by Senator Max Baucus that no deal is better than a bad deal, okay? So they go into the conference, they go into the negotiation. Coming out without having any kind of an agreement is better than coming out with a bad deal. Then Copenhagen was better than a deal that was not going to be workable for the people of this country. And they came out with a nope in Hagen. Al Gore, take a hike. Seems that there's a no deal in Seoul. But this may be the beginning of a trend. Perhaps the United States, again, has lost its moment in the sun, and whether we get what we want or not is no longer relevant to the discussion. The announcements made by the U.S. and Korean presidents yesterday that they failed to agree on changes to beef and auto provisions may make no deal the reality for U.S. trade accords across Asia and the world. What's we talking about now? We're talking about beef and cars, all right? It's very disappointing if they can't deliver under these circumstances, and you have to wonder. Former U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab said in a Bloomberg radio interview yesterday, if you can't reclose a deal when both leaders say they want it done by a certain time, then you got some serious problems. If you can't reclose the deal, remember, things are up in the air still. The usurper's not getting what they need to have. The other side's not getting what they need to have. They're unable to come to agreement. They've got problems here when it comes to beef and automobiles. All right, continue. I want to make sure this deal is balanced, Obama told reporters at the Group 20 summit in Seoul, Korea. I want trade agreements that work for the other side, but my main job is to look out for the American people, American workers, and American businesses. Has somebody given him a new business card? What do you do, forget all about Saul Alinsky? Did he leave his little red book at home? I don't know. All of a sudden, we get this different message. Anyhow, back into this again. With almost $68 billion in trade between the nations, the deal would be the U.S. largest since the North American Free Trade Agreement in 1994, NAFTA. It would help bury the usurper meet his goal of doubling American exports in 5 years. The accord, signed in 2007 by negotiators for George W. Bush, the shrub, Jorge, what has languished in Washington as lawmakers complained about Korean barriers to exports of U.S. autos and beef. Ford Motor Company and the United Auto Workers opposed the agreement and sought changes. So we're not being able to send our automobiles and our beef into Korea, but Korea continues to flood our markets with theirs. Not a good situation. I think we can find a sweet spot, the usurper said, that works for both Korea and the United States. His decision to walk away from a deal in Seoul was praised by critics such as Baucus, a Montana Democrat, Representative Sander Levin, a Michigan Democrat, and chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Representative Dave Camp, a Michigan Republican, who is in line to be the next chairman of that panel. That may make it easier to win approval if a deal is reached later. High stakes? This is far too important a bilateral relation to blow up over these incremental changes. It's all about beef. It's all about cars. All right, a little bit more here along the same line. Let's jump into this as soon as she'll open for me. Here we go. European ministers hold Ireland debt crisis talks at the G20. A lot of things happening here at this session, but there was a lot of heated debates as well. Not a lot of consensus building, not a lot of hand-holding, not a lot of bridge building, some bridge burning. But they keep coming up with different ideas. They know they got a problem and they're trying to resolve it. A group of 20 leaders discussed Ireland's debt crisis, which has driven bond yields to records and weakened the euro and concerned the European Union will need to step in with a bailout. You see how simple life would be if we'd get out of all these foreign entanglements? But we're into them, and we're into them deep. All that, all the oil that we really need, we have the ability to bring up all the beef that we really need. We can grow all of the real, genuine, sweet corn that we really need, but because we're entrapped in all of these foreign entanglements, lost in this maze of free trade, we can't seem to get things squared away. Finance ministers from Germany, France, and the UK are monitoring developments and probably will issue a joint statement later today, said Stefan Siebert. You know, see, it is possible to have too many managers. A spokesman for German Chancellor Angela Merkel, G20 leaders spent a considerable time discussing Europe's debt woes, said a U.S. official who participated in the meetings in Seoul and spoke to White House reporters on a condition of chickenness. We'll be right back.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the Earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I really hate to spend this much time and dig through all of these articles and not really come up with anything definitive, but this seems to be what's being dished out, at least on the Bloomberg website. I didn't find much more supportive material on Reuters either, but you know, by now you would think that there would be something out. I still haven't seen it. Maybe somebody will send me a link. Germany is the biggest contributor to this year's $860 billion euros in loan and pledges to stem euro's debt crisis. So on and so forth. A majority of global investors predict Ireland will default on its sovereign debt, so on and so forth. The three-country statement will rebut criticisms from Ireland and others, so on and so forth. Bondholder contributions. The future crisis mechanism has nothing to do with the debate that's going on right now. Germany will spell out to what extent bondholders would contribute to a sovereign bailout next week, rather than wait until a European Union summit in December, right? So they're laying down the rule here. Again, the debtors can rarely dictate terms to a creditor. Merkel, who faces elections next year in states with 25% of Germany's population, says her goal is to enforce fiscal discipline in the euro area and avoid putting German taxpayer money on the line in any future bailout. Boy, I wish that would go viral. There may be a conflict here between the interests of the financial world and the interests of politicians, Merkel said. Remember? when Bernanke was making similar claims, you know, they didn't want to politicize the Fed. That's kind of what she's saying here. There may be a conflict here between the interests of the financial world, that be the Fed or the bankers, the central banks or gangsters, and the interests of politicians. So on the one hand, you've got the bankers hiding behind the curtain, you know, the money masters, with the levers and creating all the money. And then you got their stooges out front, all the stuffed shirts, all the mannequins, you know. And they're having a hard time going out in front of people and saying, everything is fine, when it's not, right? So there's a little bit of conflict here between the bankers and the politicians. Maybe the politicians feel like they're getting the worst end of this arrangement. Losing streaks, Irish bonds, or Irish government bonds tumbled for a 13 straight day, blah, blah, blah. Mounting concerns, yields on 10-year Irish bonds. We're monitoring the situation in Ireland on a permanent basis, European Commission President Jose Barroso said in Seoul yesterday. Europe has all the necessary instruments in place to offer financial help if necessary, he said. So, I mean, it just goes on and on, all right? Lots of stuff. Stocks, U.S. futures, metals drop on China rate concern, Irish bonds rally. We're trying to find out what happened in the marketplace yesterday, 11-11 of 10. Stocks, U.S. index futures and commodities decline on speculation that China is poised to increase its interest rates. Irish and Portuguese bonds rallied after officials at the Group of 20 meeting in Seoul said they were working on ways to resolve the debt crisis. And it continues, article up on Bloomberg this morning. China's central bank may increase rates within weeks after inflation accelerated the fastest pace in 25 months in October, according to Bloomberg survey. G20 leaders agreed to develop early warning indicators, an early warning system here being developed, to head off economic turmoil at the summit. While officials from Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and the UK said in South Korea, a crisis resolution mechanism that may force bondholders to share the cost of a bailout wouldn't apply to the outstanding debt. The Federal Reserve, so it's only going forward, wouldn't be retroactive. The Federal Reserve is scheduled to start more bond purchases today. People are watching that. China's focus on containing inflation highlights the risk the other nations will face in the wake of global easing and rising commodity prices. We're still going to see gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, wheat, cotton, copper, all the rest of them going up, oil going up. Well, the value of all these specious, you know, currencies go into the toilet. Rio Tinto, Bank of Ireland, almost three stocks fell for every one that gained on the stock 600, while all but one of the 19 industry groups retreated. Basic resources shares led the sell-off as the metals declined, with BHP Billiton Limited sliding 2.3% and copper dropping 2.1% in London, the most in 2 weeks. Rolls-Royce is in trouble. They're having trouble with their 230 engines or something like that. Airbus not exactly happy about the Rolls engine that blew up the other day. It went bad. China's Shanghai Composite Index sank 5.2. It just goes on and on. Consumer sentiment. The decline in U.S. futures indicates the S&P 500 may extend the biggest weekly drop in 3 months. Confidence among U.S. consumers probably improved in November. Well, people are getting out of the stock markets in record numbers. A lot of the corporations are buying their own stocks just to keep their numbers up. Jump over here and look at APEC. What is APEC? APEC Yokohama. Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, APEC, is an economic forum promoting the liberalization and facilitation of trade and investments, economic and technical cooperation and related issues. It strives for voluntary cooperative activity between its 21 member economies. Voluntary compliance. Based on the principles of sustainable growth in the Asia-Pacific region, and contributing to world and economic growth, APEC is the world's largest regional cooperative. Cooperative. All right? It's like having an electrical cooperative. All the small producers of electricity in a rural area come together into a co-op, a cooperative, and then they buy and sell electricity among themselves and offer it at the best possible prices to their customers. A regional cooperative in a region which accounts for approximately 40% of the world's population and nearly half of the world's gross domestic product. APEC 21 member economies are Australia, Brunei, Darazolam, something like that, Canada, Chile, People's Republic of China, Hong Kong, China, Indonesia, Japan, Republic of Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Peru, Republic of the Philippines, the Russian Federation, Singapore, Chinese Taipei, Thailand, the United States, and Vietnam. You think maybe we need to pay attention to what's happening in Yokohama this weekend at the Leaders Summit? Over the 8-day period from November the 7th to November the 14th, again, we're right back into the time of bonfires, the time of the new year in the Druid calendar. Over the 8-day period from November the 7th to the 14th, around 8,000 people will visit Yokohama in connection or in conjunction with the APEC meeting, including APEC members, leaders, and ministers. In addition to the APEC Economic Leaders Meeting and APEC Ministerial Meeting, there will be other assemblies held. There's going to be lots of these backroom meetings, too. You can be sure of that. Probably be a little bit of cocaine and whoredom as well. Well, there's more. The APEC CEO Summit. These are all the websites. You can find it up there on the Internet, www.apec-ceosummit2010.com. The APEC CEO Summit 2010, Yokohama, November the 12th through the 13th, the Minato Mirai District in Yokohama, Japan. Lots of stuff going on inside of all of this, and we'll find out more about it, I guess, on Monday in the news and perhaps over the weekend and throughout today. Keep your eyes peeled. I'm sure that Doug Owen and Lee Rogers and the other hosts on the network will dig up all the pertinent details and get you the pertinent clips, but it's, you know, one of those disadvantages of having a morning broadcast, and then I'm not too big on web searching myself. So anyway, there's a lot happening here on this APEC CEO Summit in Yokohama. Been working out of this book, Introduction to Historical Analysis by Carol Quigley, The Evolution of Civilizations. I'm just going to pick it up and continue a little bit further with this understanding of the evolution of civilizations and historical changes in civilizations. Because rather, pertinent to the things that are happening today. Because of such conditions as these, the whole first part of the Age of Conflict, now if you've just tuned in for the first time, you will find other parts of this discussion on previous broadcasts this week and last on our free access archives. But because of such conditions as these, the whole first part of the Age of Conflict, which is stage 4 out of the 7 stages of civilization, is a period of crisis and of hope. Crisis and hope. Never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, hope and change. Crisis and hope. These guys read Carol Quigley. They know his writings well. All right? Only when the vested interests create new instruments of class oppression. Again, when we look at instruments and institutions, it's Peter F. Drucker, you know, the concept of corporation. You can go back and look at that. That book written long ago. It'll give you a lot of good insights into all of this. And again, this book was written in 1961, published by Carol Quigley. Again, only when the vested interest creates new instruments of class oppression, of imperialist wars, and of irrationality, and when these new instruments in turn begin to become institutions, does hope fade. Only when all of this becomes institutionalized does hope and change fade. We'll pick it up right there for hour number 2. Stay tuned.
I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, November the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Our call-in numbers throughout the broadcast are 866-841-1065. If you happen to live in the Austin, Texas area, have unlimited long-distance access. You can also call in at 512-904-8014. In the first hour of the broadcast, we talked about this G20 Seoul Summit. A little bit of soul searching over there. Didn't come to any real consensus. Had to open the windows and open the doors. Several heated debates. But I haven't found anything yet definitive about what they actually agreed to or what the frameworks look like going forward, as they love to say. Then we'll just realize that it's there and understand that APEC is meeting in Yokohama over the weekend, Business Leaders Summit, the CEO Summit, and all of the rest of that. And out of all of these things, more tyranny and despotic control will come. Well, let's get a better understanding of it, all from going back to Carol Quigley from the Evolution of Civilizations in the chapter Historical Changes in Civilization, page 162 out of this Liberty Fund book, where we find this written again. The whole first part of the age of conflict is a period of crisis and of hope. Crisis management and hope and change, right? Only when the vested interests create new instruments of class oppression, of imperialist wars, and of irrationality, and when these new instruments in turn begin to become institutions, does hope fade? Institutionalized stupidity? Well, maybe. Crisis becomes endemic in the civilization and continues until the universal empire with its golden age is established. So in this period that we may be in right now, in this time of crisis, the crisis will continue until the time of the golden age is established, according to Quigley here. In those civilizations that had a single political unit from an earlier stage, like Egyptian, Minoan, or the Orthodox civilizations, the age of conflict is frequently of briefer duration, because imperialist wars are of limited extent. John McStain says, you know, a 100-year war, it'll be over here for 100 years. 100 years, that's rather brief in the lineup of centuries of human existence. The fact that these one-state civilizations frequently have a socialist state as their instrument of expansion also serves to obscure the duration of the age of conflict, because such a civilization has weak incentives to invent in its age of expansion and less dramatic class conflicts in its age of conflict, thus serving to obscure the transition from one of these stages to the other. Complex thinking here. Certainly when we take a look at this idea that at the heart here, these one-state civilizations frequently have a socialist state as their instrument of expansion. We've been under a socialist state of our instrument of expansion ever since Woodrow Wilson said, you know, making the world safe for democracy. socialist state. In theory, there is nothing rigid about stage five. So far as observations of past civilizations indicate, every civilization passes from the age of conflict to the age of universal empire. So what he's setting up here with his list of seven, mixture, gestation, expansion, age of conflict, universal empire, decay, and invasion, is, in his mind at least, Quigley's mind at least, a conclusive breakdown of the seven stages of human development. Again, he says, in theory, there's nothing rigid about stage five. That's the stage of universal empire. So far as observations of past civilizations indicate, every civilization passes from the age of conflict to the age of universal empire. We all go through it. Pick that up right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
The 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And, of course, one of the great troubles and dangers of this particular kind of a broadcast, the one that I do here, is that one broadcast builds on the information presented in the last, and over the long number of months that we've been on the air here on Oracle, we've come a long distance. But if you recall way back when, and you can certainly find these broadcasts in the archives bin, go back to the early months of Oracle here, you'll find our discussion on Western civilizations, where we studied Western civilization, the rises of Western civilizations, with Edward McNall Burns, right out of university textbooks, where we find a whole section that we covered on the Aegean civilization. You know, kind of had to cover a lot of the groundwork in the early parts of these broadcasts so we could get into some of the, more of these more detailed things. We always begin in the dictionary, and then we move from the dictionaries into the encyclopedias, and then allow the encyclopedias to lead us out to the various authors, the text, the textbooks, and then from there, you know, to the individual authors like Carol Quigley, which we're looking at today. All right. But again, he was a university professor as well, probably a Jesuit trained. The Aegean civilization, by a strange coincidence, this is out of Edward McNall Burns, the Western civilizations, the Aegean civilization, by a strange coincidence, the discovery of the existence of the Hittite and the Aegean civilizations was made at just about the same time. Now remember, these Hittites, these people are they worship the goddess Sibyl, or Sibel, the great mother, on a processional car drawn by lions, all right? Sibelians, so the great mother, the holy mother. And that's very important to understand that the Hittites, they were also these bulbous nosed people, all right? You know, you look at the Jews and you go, oh, look at the big noses. Well, look at the Romans, they got big noses too. But if you look at early Hittite sculpture, perhaps the most highly conventionalized sculpture of the ancient world, noteworthy are the animal legs and tails with human torsos and heads, the Mesopotamian treatment of the hair and the beard, the fingers of even length, and the huge noses. And you see that right in their artwork, okay? And these people were welcome and mixed and inbred and miscegenation and all that stuff down in and around Jerusalem. So maybe the big nose, the bulbous nose, is like a half-breed between the Hittite and the Hebrew, perhaps. Maybe a little bit of that came into the Romans as well. Or perhaps when we're looking at some of these bulbous nosed individuals, we're actually looking at these people that were previously known as the Hittites, and they're a fascinating folk. All right, lots to learn about the Hittites, the Aegean, but there is some very, very fascinating archaeology that has been developed out of the Aegean peoples, that's the Aegean Sea, the island folk, that Quigley is alluding to here when he talks about the Minoan, like the Egyptian Minoan or Orthodox civilizations. In theory, there is nothing rigid about stage 5 so far as observations of past civilizations indicate. Every civilization, again, passes from the age of conflict to the age of universal empire. Jumping ahead a bit. Now, in such a case, stage 5 might be omitted. The civilization would pass directly from stage 4 to stage 6, right straight into conflict from conflict to decay, without achieving any universal empire. Something like this may have been true of Mesoamerican civilizations. In a similar way, it is conceivable, in theory at least, that a civilization could continue for a very long time in the stage of decay without passing on to stage 7. So even though he delineates these 7 stages of civilization's development, it is not necessary, by his definition, for any one group of people, any one civilization, to advance through all of the stages, as they say at the Masonic Lodge, as they hug themselves and do all of the other symbology that they do. Right? You might get stuck someplace. He also said that we can advance, just like the gold and silver does. We advance to a slightly higher high, then we back up to a higher low, then we move to a slightly higher high again, then we move to a slightly higher low, and we just kind of go up like the teeth on a cross-cut saw as we move along higher and higher in gold and silver and platinum, palladium, and rhodium. And civilizations can move up in these 7 stages of civilization, sometimes being hung up on a single tooth in that saw blade for a long time before they finally move on up to the next. And sometimes you fall back. You move forward and fall back. Move forward 2 steps forward, 1 step back. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Again, it's in a similar way, it is conceivable in theory that a civilization could continue for a very long time in the stage of decay without passing on to stage 7. Just think how long some of the peoples of Africa have been kept with a jackboot on their throat in the same stage of civilization, because it's convenient, because it's easily controllable. People have no ability to defend themselves against the crown and parliament assembled or other predators. And so their natural resources and sources of mineral wealth are just wide open, cherry-picked, you know, for Cecil Rhodes and the rest of the bunch to come in. to take advantage of. So it's to their advantage to continue to have these tin pot despot dictators coming up in those countries where they can keep the people in subjection and abject poverty for long periods of time. There can be no invasion to end the civilization unless there are invaders to come in. And so it's one thing to say that, you know, the United States is in this particular stage and then we're going to move into the stage of invaders or invasion. But unless there be an invader that can move in, that will never happen. Continuing, it is also in theory conceivable that some universal empire may someday cover the whole globe, leaving no external barbarian to serve as invaders. And this is what I'm somewhat alluding to when I talk about the GIS, GPS, global governance system. Some universal empire. You know, whenever you see the word universal, you must say Catholic, because they're interchangeable, they're synonymous. So we could say it this way. It is also in theory conceivable that some Catholic empire someday might cover the whole globe, leaving no external barbarian to serve as an invader. The GIS, GPS, global governance system, it's that box canyon that we must not allow ourselves to go into. Because if there are no other invaders left, there would be no escape from it. It's a box you don't want to go into. No matter how sweet smelling the water might be, no matter how green and lush the grass might be inside, you don't go in there. All right, it's a trap. And this point leads to one final consideration, namely the relationship of outside societies to any civilization. In theory, again, it would seem that an outside society that was stronger than a given civilization might at any time come in and smash it. And we've been doing plenty of that. Go back and look at listen to the interviews with Michael Vail and even the ones earlier than that with Doug Owen and Michael Vail interviewing Mr. Barnett, Thomas Barnett. We do a lot of that going around smashing stuff. You know, that's kind of one of the things we do. We spoke a little bit about that yesterday in our Armistice Day discussion. Lots of this going around smashing things. I'd like to do that. In practice, however, it seems that civilizations are in little danger of such an experience, except early or late in their careers. In general, a civilization is in no danger from any society except another civilization from stage 2 to stage 6. In stage 6, however, it is in danger from any society, even a parasitic one, as is clear from the destruction of the Cretan, the classical, the Hittite, now he brings up the Hittites, and the Cynic civilizations by non-civilized invaders. Non-civilized. Civil is a very interesting word to study, to become a civilized individual. We'll be right back.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, at website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
So Quigley continues, and he talks about when two civilizations collide, we may use the tentative rule that the victory will go to the one that is closer to a stage 3 expansion, but that neither one will be destroyed unless it is in stage 6. In 492 to 479 BC, classical civilizations in stage 3 and the Mesopotamian civilization in the last part of stage 5 collided, and the former won. In 336 to 323, they collided again with classical in stage 4 and Mesopotamian in stage 6, and the latter was destroyed. In 264 to 146 BC, classical civilization in a stage 4 met the Cainite civilization in stage 6 and was destroyed in it. In 711 and 814, Western civilization in stage 2 was able to preserve itself against an Islamic invasion in stage 3. 300 years later, in what we call the Crusades, Western civilization in stage 3 returned to visit the Islamic nation. Then, in stage 4, but could not destroy it. However, in 1850 to 1920, Western civilization, just reaching the end of stage 3, again collided with the Islamic civilization, now in stage 6, and destroyed its universal empire, the Ottoman Empire, and probably liquidated the whole civilization, a process that is still going on. Now remember, he wrote this in 1961, and we're still talking about these towel heads today in a derogatory way. This was only one of several civilizations that were in a similar stage and have met, or appear to now be meeting, a similar fate. The other universal empires in Stage 6 that have been destroyed by Western civilizations while in the Stage 3 are the Inca, the Aztec, the Manchu, the Mughal, and perhaps the Tokugawa in Japan. At the present time, India seems to be in a stage 2 of new civilization. China is to be in a stage 1 of a new civilization. While the situation in Japan and the Near East is still too chaotic to make any judgments about what is happening. And I just bring this out to your attention. You know, I thought cherry-picked this little chapter out of the book because it is indicative of what we see happening today. It also gives us a clue that there are those who are in positions of power and control and authority with all of the power of their foundations and their grants, the academia, the think tanks, and the computers that have thought through this stuff so carefully. They could tell us what size shoes we wear and what we had for breakfast. They not only understand where we've been in the past, they know where we're going in the future because unlike most of us, they plan, we don't. They have long-term goals, mid-term goals, 5-year plans, 10-year plans, 20-year plans, 50-year plans, 100-year plans, the vision statements, mission statements, and the whole nine yards. And then yet we find ourselves in the present, having just completed the G20 in Seoul and now in the APEC meeting. And none of us listening this morning likely can afford, like Joan Vian was able to do for a while before she passed on, got too sick to continue traveling, but to continue to go around to this Doha round and that one, to go to this G20 meeting and that one. You just can't keep up with these guys unless you're just fantastically wealthy or so high up in the food chain in government that government just bankrolls your trip on every occasion. Barry the Usurper and Celeste, Babar and Celeste, have traveled off hot air balloon, and that's the way it's going. All right, anyway. At the present time, India seems to be in a stage 2 of a new civilization. China may be in a stage 1 of a new civilization. In the 1960s, China was just coming on. And so they still have all 7 of these stages to look forward to, going forward, as they like to say. While the situation again in Japan and the Near East is still too chaotic to make any judgment about, Russian civilization, which began about 8500 and had its period of expansion of about 1500 to 1900, had the state as its instrument of expansion and was just entering upon stage 4 in 1917 when the reform of this institution gave it a new instrument of expansion. It's a curious way of saying it there, Mr. Quigley. The reform of this institution. You can say Bolsheviki and Mensheviki. Introduce Vladimir Ilyich Lenin and then Joseph Stalin and Khrushchev and on and on. As a result, Russian civilization has been in stage 3 for the second time in recent years, but it remains a relatively weak civilization because of its weak incentives to invention. A collision between this civilization, which is in early stage 3, and Western civilization has just begun. Stage 4 would probably be indecisive in its outcome. And so Russia has, you know, been very happy and content to ride the rumble seat, but they haven't gone out of the picture. If Western civilization reforms and again passes into a stage 3, it will be far too powerful to be defeated by a Russian civilization. If Western civilization does not reform, but continues through the stage of conflict into the stage of universal empire, the threat from Russian civilization will be much greater. However, by that time, the new Indian civilization or the new Chinese civilization may be in a stage 3 and will present far greater threats to both Western and Russian civilization than either of these will present to each other. The possible by no means inevitable relationship of these 4 civilizations in terms of relevant stages can be seen in the following chart, and then he lays it all out. This chart is purely guesswork, Quigley writes, closing this chapter out. Because if Western civilization reforms in the present time, seeking reforms, you know, got to have reforms, Reform Party, which appeared shortly after the work was written here, as appears highly likely, or if any revolutionary new technological discovery, such as the Internet, but he says here, such as the conquest of photosynthesis, perhaps genetically modified foods, is made in the near future, that whole relationship will be modified. So outside and attenuating circumstances, can modify the progress in Quigley's process here. But unless we're aware that the, you know, think tanks are paying attention to this kind of material, and perhaps going well beyond it, but I would imagine that, you know, here we are now 40, 50 years beyond this writing, and that they are well beyond it. But certainly, many people based their understanding on what Quigley was writing. Returning from the unknown future to the partially known past, we can conclude this chapter by a chart that gives in a rough fashion the chronology of the 7 stages for the civilizations with which we shall be most concerned. Now, he then goes on and talks about the matrix of early civilizations. We'll pause on that and go to this quickly. I shared with you out of the Encyclopedia Americana the other day an article, and a brief, relatively brief, brief article, on who are the Archons. And the Encyclopedia Britannica also has another article on the same ways, And you can go back and listen to the previous discussion and go all the way back to our study of anarchy, which we're going to continue in a moment with The Politics of Obedience by Lobuete. We'll find out a little bit more about the archons here. The archon, leader or ruler, this out of the Encyclopedia Britannica, and this set was published, let's see if I can get to that quickly enough here. Here we go, 1965. So again, we're contemporary with the writings of Quigley, contemporary with the Encyclopedia Americana, in a contemporary edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Of course, we know that this goes back to the blacks and the whites and so on. Archon, the leader or ruler. It's a term used widely among the ancient Greek city-states for the chief magistrate or magistrates. It had its origin in the period somewhere between 1000 B.C. and 682 B.C., when the kings, or the basiles, or the basileis, were being superseded by the aristocrats.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose seven of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So once again, the archon, leader or ruler, a term used widely among the ancient Greek city-states for the chief magistrate or magistrates. And we have all these black-robed judges, you know, men and lawyers in dresses today, you know, the chief magistrates or the new legal order working in tandem with the new economic order. You know, go back and look at the little chain that we ran together, that we saw that the American Bankers Association was formed first. It was immediately followed by the American Bar Association. Shortly thereafter, the American Bar Association created the Uniform Law Commission, which then created the Uniform Legislative Bill Drafting Agencies in all the several states, and they were able to effect an end run on the Constitution and create this new empire, this union between the legal and the banking institutions, which continues to rule us today. And they were experiencing much the same back at this time period under the Archons. It had its origin during the period, in the period somewhere between 1000 B.C. and 6282 B.C. when the kings were being superseded by aristocrats. Kings being superseded by aristocrats. How many people know the kings? Can name any of the kings of the Greek city-states? At Athens, executive power was in the hands of nine archons, nine magistrates on our Supreme Court. By the middle of the 7th century B.C., they were not a college, like a college of cardinals, or an electoral college, or a Sanhedrin council, but the religious, military, and judicial functions once discharged by the kings were divided among them. No longer being run by the kings. It says here again, the religious, the military, and the judicial functions, how important it is to maintain control over your religions. You wouldn't want them to get away. You might start teaching something that would be heretical to the state, right? Probably the first to be instituted was the Archon, later known as Eponymous Archon, or Eponymous Archon, since the he gave his name to his year of office. The list of annual archons began in 682 to 681 B.C., so we can pick up the historical thread right in there. He was the principal civil and judicial officer and may have presided both over both council, the boule, and assembly, the ecclesia. Ecclesiastical, the sacred and the secretary, the boule, and the ecclesiastic. Next came the polemarch, the commander in war, and the judge where foreigners were involved. A judge where foreigners were involved, and he would be the chief, he would be the commander in chief, and intercede in all things illegal alien, minors and things. Third, next came the polemarch, commander in war, and judge where foreigners were involved. Third, the kingship survived in the person of an annual basileus. You say Jorge Bush was our annual basileus, and so is Barry the Usurper, the annual basileus, a couple of real basileuses indeed, who was the chief religious officer, and in that capacity presided over the Areopagus when it sat as a homicide court. Lastly, there were six Themisti, and I'm just blowing these names, but I'm getting them close phonetically so that you might look them up. Determiners of customs. Customs are very important. They play an instrumental role in understanding law, comprehending law. Only nobles by birth were eligible. Probably no one was allowed to hold any of the various archonships twice. Archons became life members of the Areopagus, and thus, this body exercised a general supervision over their administration, especially in the judicial sphere. And it continues, and it covers the things that we've talked about as regards the previous articles, where we follow the history then all the way out to Delphi and the oracles.
Well, all right, setting that one aside.
So the reason I bring the Archons back to our memory is because whenever we study anarchism, it harkens back to the Bible verse where the Christ ostensibly was said, be not like the others and put Archons over you. And so we're talking about these Archons, and then all of the archbishops, the archpriests, etc., the triumph, arc of triumph, all the arches that you'll see, these great flying arches in the early churches, all of this, the archons. Several historians of anarchism, again, back to the politics of obedience, this being written, narrated in a way, by Murray Rothbard. This you can find at Mises.org, Rothbard Bueti PDF. Several historians of anarchism have gone so far as to classify Labuetti's treatise itself as anarchist, which is incorrect, since Labuetti never extended his analysis from tyrannical government to government per se. But while Labuetti cannot be considered an anarchist, his sweeping strictures on tyranny and the universality of his political philosophy lend themselves easily to such an expansion. And again, we're traveling back in time now into the 1500s when this was written. At least when Labuetti was writing. This is much later than that. All this considerably disturbed the Labuetti biographer Paul Bonifon, who wrote of the discourse, you know, this is Paul Bonifon writing, after having failed to distinguish legitimate from illicit authority and having imprudently attacked even the principle of authority, Labuetti put forth a naive illusion. He seems to believe that man could live in a state of nature without society and without government, and discovered that this situation would be filled with happiness for humanity. And this dream, Paul Bonifon said, is puerile. And I would have to agree. But we still hear a lot of people, you know, advance this kind of stuff on a regular basis. This idea that man could live in a state of nature without society, without government. It's totally contrary to, you know, existence. To the acute analyst Pierre Mesnard, Bonifon's alarm is wide of the mark. Mesnard believes that Labuetti defined, dropping down here, going to the next page, skipping a lengthy footnote, tyranny as simply an exercise of personal power. In doing so, Labuetti went beyond the traditional twofold definition of tyranny as either usurpation of power or government against the laws, quote-unquote laws, which were either defined as customary law, divine law, or the natural law for the common good of the people. Again, you're at the little home of philosophical radicalism. We've brought out a lot of this stuff in the past. We talk about the common good, the greatest good of the greatest number. This is part of the philosophical radicalism of Jeremy Bentham and company. We look into the idea of customary law. And we're now, you know, invoking once again the National Ocean Council. We're now getting involved with private international law. We're also discussing customary law as the basis and foundation of almost all law. That's actually law, not that which is legal, but that which is lawful. Rises up out of your customs, your tongues, your tribes, your creeds, and your traditions. And then we speak of the divine law. This would be that law of nature and nature's God, spoken of in the Declaration of Independence and talked about by Sir Edward Coke in the face of King James I of England and the 7th of Scotland, where he said that the natural law is written on the hearts of man by the very finger of God, or the natural law for the common good of the people. Whereas the traditional theory thus focused only on the means of the ruler's acquiring power and the use made of that power, Mesnard points out that Labuetti's definition of tyranny went straight to the nature of power itself. Tyranny does not depend, as many of the older theorists had supposed, on illicit means of acquiring power. The tyrant needs not be a usurper, although often are. As Labuetti declares, quote, there are three kinds of tyrants. Some receive their proud position through elections by the people, others by force of arms, and others by inheritance. And so, perhaps, Jorge Bush II got his by inheritance. Jorge Bush I, perhaps by force of arms in Dealey Plaza. And Barry the Usurper got his tyranny by an election of the people. Usurpers or conquerors always act as if they are ruling a conquered country. And those born to kingship are, quote, scarcely any better because they are nourished on the breast of tyranny, suck in with their milk the instincts of the tyrant, and consider the people under them as inherited serfs. You know, the little people. The tourists, when they come into the building, they stink so much. All that sweat, that terrible sweat. Be back with Labuetti in a moment.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So once again, a big shout and a thank you to John from Missouri, who brought us this writing to our attention off the Mises.org website. John, I don't spend much time up there, although I've read Ludwig von Mises in plenty, and several of his volumes in my library. But this is a rather interesting expose here that Labuetti is putting out for us, written back in the 1500s during the time of the Reformation. All right? Things were coming around. The age of reason was coming. The age of enlightenment was coming on us and at us. And at the time, and the churches didn't like these kinds of messages, surprised they didn't declare him a heretic and strangle him and then burn him at the stake. You know, it's kind of what the Jesuits like to do. Anyway, as Labuetti declares, three kinds of tyrants, and we went through that. As for the elected, they would seem to be more bearable, but they are always intriguing to convert the election into a hereditary despotism, and they've done that, haven't they? You've got Roy Blunt now moving into the Congress, into the Senate, taking Kit Bond's seat, formerly in the Congress, but while he was in the Congress, his son was the governor of Missouri. Jeb Bush, Jorge Bush, George Sr., Prescott, kind of a hereditary despotism. Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush, Rodham, Clinton, Bush. Wow. In cruelty. And then, of course, you know, you follow these genetic things out. It's always amazing, you know. You find out that everybody's interrelated, a bunch of miscegenated fools. They all go back to the Crown and Parliament assembled, and then they find their way into Germany and other places. Of course, they claim to all be from Bihaburu, right? They're all the chosen ones, so they think they're chosen, and then we select them, for God's sakes. As for elected, again, they would seem to be more bearable, but they're always intriguing to convert the election into a hereditary despotism. Senator Kit Bond brought in the Help America Vote Act against the Constitution of Missouri, I might add, and hence surpass other tyrants in cruelty because they find no other means to impose this new tyranny than by tightening control and removing their subjects so far from any notion of liberty that even if the memory of it is fresh, it will soon be eradicated. Chilling words. Chilling words indeed. In sum, Labuetti can find no choice between these three kinds of tyrants. All right? For although the means of coming into power differ, still the method of ruling is practically the same. Those who are elected ask as if they were breaking in bullocks, oxen, cattle, settle in the field. Those who are conquerors make the people feel like their prey. Those who are heirs plan to treat them as if they were natural slaves. Yet Mesnard's neat conclusion that Labuetti meant simply to indict all personal power, all forms of monarchy, as being tyrannical is inadequate. So you see, there's many different ways and many different people who have examined this information in their time periods, and they've come up with their understandings, just as we are this morning here. And so what Rothbard seems to be doing in this paper, this 80-page document, is bringing together all of the different ways that Labuetti has influenced from Tolstoy out here to Mesnard and others. Moreover, again, he states that having several masters, according to the number one, has its amounts to being that many times unfortunate. Very clever and clumsy statement. These are not precisely indictments of the concept of a republic, but they leave the definition of tyranny in Labuetti sufficiently vague so that one can easily press on the anarchist conclusions. And it continues. Why do people continue to give their consent to despotism? You know, we talk about this idea of voluntary consent, voluntary compliance, obtaining public buy-in. But why do people continue to give their consent to despotism? Well, in the Declaration, it tells us that people will suffer all manner of depredation as long as the depredation is, you know, tolerable, and they'll do nothing to throw off the chains. But this is the warning that Labuetti is giving. He says, why do people continue to give their consent to despotism? Why do they permit tyranny to continue? This is especially puzzling if tyranny, defined at least as all personal power, must rest on mass consent. And if the way to overthrow tyranny is therefore for the people to withdraw that consent, the remainder of Labuetti's treatise is devoted to this crucial problem. And his discussion here is as seminal, creating first, and profound as it is in the earlier part of the work. Now, I'm having to skip all the lengthy footnotes. They can be a bit distracting. The establishment of tyranny, Labuetti points out, is most difficult at the outset when it is first imposed. The establishment of tyranny is most difficult at the outset when it is first imposed. This is that sudden shock where people ought come up in righteous indignation. What the hell you mean, naked body scanners? Where's that shirt off? Drag him down. throw these things out of our airports today. And we don't. We've been conditioned. It's incrementalism, darling. It's the mind of Bertrand Russell and George Bernard Shaw and Sidney and Beatrice Webb. And everybody else has been working on this Kunktator scheme, the Fabian Socialist Program of Action for the 21st century. The sustainable prince, Prince Charles. For generally, if given a free choice, people will vote to be free rather than to be slaves. Quote, there can be no doubt that they would much prefer to be guided by reason itself than to be ordered about by the whims of a single man. And I must add, even if that single man be the Pope or the King. If given a free choice, people will vote to be free. Didn't say vote for liberty. Vote to have, you know, the greatest good of the greatest number. They'll vote to be free rather than to be slaves. A possible exception was the voluntary choice by the Israelites to imitate other nations in choosing a king. That would be Saul. Apart from that, tyranny can only be initially imposed by conquest or by deception. Israelis moving by deception, always say Mossad, you know. The conquest may either be by foreign armies or by an internal faction or a factional coup. Foreign armies or by an internal factional coup. These be all the followers of Leo Strauss, the Straussian neocon agenda. William Kristol, Condoleezza Sleazy Rice, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, a bunch of Straussian neocons. The deception occurs in cases where the people, during wartime emergencies, select certain persons as dictators. We've been attacked. We've been attacked. We must strike at Afghanistan. We must find Osama bin Laden. War Powers Act. The deception occurs in cases where the people during wartime emergencies, 1933 forward, you can actually go back to Avraham Springsteen, you might even be able to go all the way back to the beginning of time here, select certain persons as dictators, thus providing the occasion for these individuals to fasten their powers permanently upon the public. Everybody wanted George Washington to be the king, a dictator, born out of war. As Thomas Paine says, nations are organized. States are organized. Governments are organized for war. And they exist for war. And when they get tired of making war on their neighbors, they turn and they make war on their own peoples. Deception occurs in cases where people during wartime emergencies select certain persons as dictators, thus providing the occasion for these individuals to fasten their power permanently upon the public. Once begun, however, the maintenance of tyranny is permitted and bolstered by the insidious throes of habit, which quickly accustom the people to their enslavement. Department of Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, Transportation Security Agency, and all the rest of it. It is true that in the beginning men submit under constraint and by force, but those who come after them obey without regret and perform willingly what their predecessor had done because they had to. This is why men born under the yoke and then nourished and reared in slavery are content without further effort to live in their native circumstance, unaware of any other state or right, and considering as natural the condition into which they are born. The powerful influence of custom is in no respect more compelling than this, namely, habituation to subjection. Habituation to subjection. How do you like your chains? Loose or tight? At what point will you realize that you're subjected under this tyrannical and despotic regime and that it is time to throw it off? Back again on Monday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah!
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.